Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 929 FM ESPN. It's Friday. Happy Friday, September 26th to you. And boy, we got a ton to talk about. We've talked about a lot this week. This is a huge college football weekend. Can't wait to get to it. We saw Thursday night football come down to the end last night. Congrats to Seattle and congrats to John. He had Seattle money line. 52-yard field goal by Jason Myers ends it after Arizona. Nice little comeback, two fourth-quarter touchdowns to make that a ball game. That was an ugly ball game. Kenneth Walker, by the way, a former Arlington stud, had a pretty good game last night. Didn't score, but he was key in that for Seattle as well. They get the win. It's what we predicted. John Cash is in. Cha-ching! He's here. Brad Carson is here, executive producer on the ones and twos and the boss around here. Program director number one in the country, number one in your hearts. I'm here as well. I'm just a humble man. Just happy and grateful to be here. And happy, John, to be up by a slight margin.
Yeah.
On you in fantasy as well after last night.
Yeah, a lot of game left. A lot of game left.
I'm monitoring.
I would say, you know, certainly disappointed that that Trey Benson did not have a bigger game, but I think you have left the door open with that season-low performance from JSN. There is no doubt about it.
Be real. What matters is that you cashed in real money.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Enough to retire. I can't believe I'm here today.
Our little fantasy thing. Minor, and as you said, it's
my
so early.
My season's on the line. I mean, it's an important one.
He's 0-3, y'all. He's got the worst team in the league.
Well,
scored less
record,
points than
the worst
Cobb.
Record.
No, I think you've scored less than Cobb, and you lost to him yesterday.
Yes.
Last week, the
quarterback situation has been, I mean, I lost Burrow, then I started Penix. I mean, it's been.
So you're trying to make the case you're not the worst team, despite.
Absolutely
the,
not. Okay, I would say my skill positions actually are pretty good. My quarterback has not scored 10 points for me at all this season.
Well, that's
insane.
Yeah.
It's the skill position.
Mm-hmm.
How do you draft Burrow and not get even 10 points from him in the year?
You're right, and there are many out there listening right now that had Joe Burrow, so they're feeling the pain. I shouldn't come down so hard.
Yeah.
Continue to battle.
And then Penix gives me 3 points last week. I mean, what a joke.
It was a joke to have him as your starting quarterback.
I mean, I thought he was a guy. I thought he was a dog, but I guess not, man. I guess he is not. There's not a lot of great fantasy quarterbacks. You got, like, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, and that's about it.
And Caleb Williams. Thank you.
And against the Cowboys, at the very least. We'll see what happens against a real defense this week in Vegas.
Sure.
But yes, Kyler Murray is abysmal against the NFC West. I just don't know what it is, but he can't win.
I don't know that he's good, period.
He may not be, but it's certainly against the NFC West. I think his record is just – I saw they flashed
it. I was assuming it must be abysmal for you to bring him.
It's like 20-something percent.
Yeah.
It's like 26%.
Well, is he studying?
I don't know, man. I will say the first half was not on him, you know, because Marvin Harrison Jr. was checked out.
Bro is in his head.
And then he ended up, you know, making plays at the end of the game.
But yeah, after giving up two picks, essentially, on one of them wasn't necessarily his fault. But the other one, he bobbled, just like that Kelsey bobbled, and gives it to the other guy.
It was absolutely awful. Kyler Murray, this is a first half stat, but he is 6-25 in the first half against the spread in the NFC West, which is 19.4%. So, I mean, that doesn't mean he's – I mean, it basically means he's losing, like, 80% of the time after halftime. In the NFC West. Pretty terrible. What a game. And it's a perfect NFL game because you look at all of the box, you look at every category statistically, the Seahawks absolutely dominated the Cardinals, and yet they could have lost the game. Mm-hmm. If Arizona had done what they were supposed to do, which is go for two in that situation instead of punting it back or giving it back in a tie game, maybe they do win the game. You know, I don't understand keep going for the tie there with as bad as your your defense actually played pretty well.
It did.
But why do you think you necessarily have a chance to win the game at that point? I would have gone for two. Like, you still have to get a stop, so it doesn't really change anything.
I get what you're saying. I thought the rule is if you are the road team, you do that.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I was sort of operated.
Yeah. Maybe more likely if you're on the road, but in my head, I was thinking, just go. I don't remember how much time was left exactly. It was like 28 seconds, maybe?
When he scored DeMarcado?
Yeah.
28 seconds.
Go for two, man. Go for two there.
But Dan Campbell would have probably. Not everybody would, though.
I think you're right. It didn't even matter because they went down and scored a field goal, so it would not have mattered.
And they did because their kicker screwed up.
Yes, exactly.
Arizona's kicker screwed up and missed the target zone.
We're continuing to learn. We're continuing to learn about the NFL and these new rule changes and how they impact games. And that was another example last night. The kick was too short. Therefore, the Seahawks started their last drive at the 40.
It's ridiculous.
And they're in range if they complete a 20-yard pass, which they did, and the kicker made. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. So, fun game on Thursday night. Football, Seahawks win. Today on the show, Anthony Sain is going to join us. We will talk to him about some news with John Morant. We'll get to that in just a moment. Media day on Monday. We'll get into all that with Anthony Sain at 11:25. And then at 1:25, Parthu Padyai was hanging out with Penny Hardaway last night. And Penny Hardaway had some big words. He had some big words about his basketball team this year. I got to say, didn't see him coming. Didn't see those words coming from him.
Penny knows how to get us buzzing.
He does.
At a time where we're probably focused on the college football weekend, Memphis being 4-0, all that stuff.
Yeah.
He makes some news with something he says. So
yes.
I'll take it all day long.
And we'll talk to him about that at 1:25. Any updates on the dog?
I didn't see it.
Okay.
No visit yesterday.
All right. We'll continue to monitor that.
I'm on the camera.
As well.
May have scared him off forever.
You've got the fantasy team to monitor, and then you've got the dog to monitor.
Yeah.
So it's a busy weekend, and Memphis on the road at FAU to monitor. Don't forget that.
Don't want to stub your toe here like you did after Florida State last year.
That's exactly right. So, anyway, we will break it all down today on the show on this Friday edition of Jason and John. But there was some news courtesy of Drew Hill. Old Drewski had some news over at the Daily Memphian, and the news is this. Ja Morant will not have an agent when it comes to his next NBA contract. He is going to negotiate his deal independently, according to Drew Hill. News of this decision comes in conjunction with the launch of ILOC. It's a new athlete-focused strategic advisory firm that will support Morant through the negotiation process. Ja will be the company's first client. It stands for Internal Locus of Control. All right, you got that? Or is it Locus? Locus?
Push on through, bro.
It's owned by Morant's uncle, Phil Morant, his mom, Jamie, and Kevin Helms, a former Grizz employee who is now on Ja Morant's personal management team. Yeah. I think of like locust.
I think bugs.
Right, but there's no T on the end of it.
Right.
Locus. Mm-hmm. Again.
A particular position, point, or place.
Locus. Okay.
Locus.
Okay.
I had to look it up.
White Station Education over here. But Ja Morant is going to, I don't know if it's represent himself, if that's exactly what this is, but it kind of is. The idea, according to Drew, is that it's a push against traditional business contracts that NBA agents normally negotiate. We've talked about that before. You know, when you're an agent, you get 4% of the contract, and then when you negotiate endorsement deals, you get usually, it's a much higher amount, it's about 20%. and sometimes like for NIL, that number can be even higher. This is just NBA, but NIL can be even higher than 20%. Yes, Ja Morant is joining the likes of Lamar Jackson, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jaylen Brown. And, you know, I like Drew's quotes in here from Jaylen Brown, who, again, represents himself, makes a lot of money, and doesn't have to give 4% of it to an agent. Jaylen Brown said in April, "I hope I ruffle all the bleep and feathers like all of them because the agency model isn't working. It's a bunch of players going broke when they retire, and that ain't ruffling no feathers. It's a bunch of players, 60% of players within the first 10 years are losing the majority of their wealth. You can blame the athlete and their living expenses, of course, but they were 18 or 19 years old when they came to wealth, and the people that represented them didn't help them handle that in no capacity or care to. after they get you and get in your pocket, they just go get the next one and get in his pocket. He said the agency model is failing. It's failing our athletes and failing our culture, so something had to be said. You know, and I understand, right? I mean, John Morant doesn't need an agent to get a max deal from the Grizzlies.
Right. He doesn't need an agent to get a deal with Nike.
He does not even need, no. I mean, so for a guy like Ja, or you know, anybody like Ja, you know, if you're coming into the league as a rookie, you probably need, you know, if you're a guarantee, right, you need a financial advisor who will help you with your budgeting and money. Mm-hmm. You don't need an agent. You don't need, I mean, there's a scale, right? Like, there's a rookie scale. And so you just follow the rookie scale. And then from there, you'll, you know, if you're that guy, it will be obvious that you will get a max contract. So does John Morant need an agent? John Morant does not need an agent. Does, Vince Williams Jr. need an agent? Yes. I mean, ultimately, you know, he will need an agent because it's not a guarantee. His future is certainly not guaranteed. But yeah, I think it's the wave now. You'll probably see more guys do this.
It's funny because, and you will remember this, it was not long ago that many were criticizing Lamar Jackson for not having an agent.
Yep.
We're saying this is the way you do it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? This is how business is handled. You go get that guy and you get your deal. Now, maybe he didn't get it as soon as he wanted it, but he got his money.
Yep.
And so, ultimately, Ja is going down the path, you just said it, that others have already gone, and others have been criticized for doing. So how are we going to sit up here and say, you know, anything other than, okay, seems smart. You know, you can't say bad move because, again, guys have proven they can go get their money. Lamar got his contract. It didn't come necessarily when he wanted it, but ultimately he got the contract he wanted. Remember all that? At first, Baltimore was open to trading him and were there going to be any suitors and everything else. And anyway, he handled business. He got his money. Why pay 4%?
Yep.
Which adds up big time on these millions of dollars if you don't have to. And so this idea of a la carte, right, the representation, the attorneys, you know, doing this per hour and what you'll pay per that versus 4% on millions, you're coming out great. It's the smart way to go. Jaylen Brown and others, Lamar, have opened the door, and it makes some sense to go this way financially. Now, I mean, what does it mean for him on the court, everything else? Nothing. Nothing at all. But, Kevin Helms, smart man, the guy who apparently this was his idea to get Ja along this path, smart guy, and hopefully, you know, financially this would be a smart move for Ja.
Exactly. I mean, I think because, again, most of his stuff's already done. I mean.
And you get, apparently he wants to represent other other clients with this group.
Yeah.
ILOC, I think it is.
ILOC.
Yeah. And maybe that's you then form a stable. Your own stable with your org underneath your own organization. Well, that's growing your brand and your business. That's smart business. So I think it's a smart move here by Ja going the way that others have proven you can go. You don't have to hire the agent, pay him the 4% to get the big money deal, to get the contract, or to get Nike.
That's exactly right. So
well, you're paying even more, as you said. 20% of your endorsement deal goes to him.
Exactly.
To your agent. Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. I mean,
you don't have to.
Now, again, I think, you know, when you're talking about a guy that's got $170 million, 4%, isn't much. But it can be significant if you feel like you don't need to give away 4%. Like, I'm just giving this to you. For what? You know, like, it's not, you know, agents can be helpful. If you're trying to negotiate trades, right? If you're trying to, demand your way out, and an agent may have a bunch of other clients, so that the franchise is more willing to play ball with that client, so that they can have a chance at other clients from that agency, right? That's what use case for an agent is usually there, right? Where you're like the Rich Pauls.
Sure.
Nobody wants to piss off Clutch. In the end,
right.
They want Clutch clients, and I'm just using that as an example. But like in terms of the negotiating table, like they really don't do that much for you. I mean, because you're either a max contract guy or you're a mid-level guy or you're a it's usually pretty cut and dry in that regard. Like nobody is out here getting those 2016 deals like Timofey Mozgov and Chandler Parsons anymore, right? Like it's pretty much just. All right, here's where you sort of fit in. We're going to give you a max. We're going to give you, an extension. We're going to, like, whatever. So I think for Ja Morant, who's, maybe it is a matter of years or something, that's really the only, negotiation.
Well, I mean, we're living in the player empowerment era. You know, cutting out the middleman, it was something we were probably always going to get to. And I can envision a future where this is the way that most, and especially the elite tier athletes, who are going to be able to get the contract because of the demand for their services. They don't need the middleman.
Absolutely.
This is just business, and you're cutting the middleman out, seemingly very smartly. Others have done it, so there's no reason not to give it a shot, especially, I mean, you've gone through two agents. You've been unhappy. And so this is the way to go. Represent yourself. I guess his uncle actually owns ILOC, and you've got Helms as the, you know, sort of chief operating officer. You know, make sure you've got a good business structure. This is, I mean, you are a business.
Yep.
And it should be set up by people you trust. Hopefully it's folks that can get the job done for you in terms of attracting more clients and you grow the thing. But no, man, let's just cut the middle guy out. This is simple. And Lamar Jackson showed us, you know, you can do this.
Now,
Jalen
again,
Brown showed us.
That got a little clumsy when it was like trade, not pay, trade.
He never blinked.
No, he didn't, and it ended up working
out. And he was fine with that. Remember, no one wanted to offer them anything because they didn't want to pay what it was going to cost. He stood firm. He stood pat and ultimately got it. Now, again, he didn't get it when he wanted to because they had to go through all that mess in terms of the trades possibilities and everything. But he ended up getting what he wanted, man. And we spent so much time saying, Lamar, this ain't the way to go. Just do it like everybody else. Pretty soon, and again, there's going to be a place for agents with lower tier clients, and you're the guy that can come to them with opportunities, especially guys that, hey, overseas opportunities he's not connected to. That's where those guys can come in, helped connect.
Yeah.
But these upper tier guys, these sure things,
no doubt,
you do not need the middleman.
You just don't.
We were always going to get here.
Yeah.
As players get smarter with their money.
Exactly. Like the Grizzlies are either going to give Ja Morant that the contract or they're going to move him. Right. Like it's just one or the other. You know, you don't
need the agent to make the decision on that.
Yeah.
In the middle, doing, you know. And here's the thing, because this is true. Negotiations can't – Jeffrey made this point. He's right. We should bring it up. They can get tense.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with Micah and with Jerry, right, especially athlete to, to owner.
Yep.
And so Ja better be ready for if they don't, right, that first time around. How you can – are you immediately going to bristle up?
Right.
When this might be still the best opportunity for you, are you going to bristle up because your feelings are hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe take a, you know, not take a deal that's good business in that sense. That's where you wonder because that's the agent's job, right? Emotionally, there are none. When you got, and that's what he's there for. But listen, I'm not paying that dude 4%. I'll go in there and we'll get it done ourselves. I ain't worried about hurt feelings.
Yeah, no.
And I'm sure that's how Ja's feeling.
Well, and again, you can, you know, you can get a financial advisor for a percentage of that, right? Like, I mean, that's the important thing that you need is like somebody that you.
And that's what they're doing.
You know, you can.
Charging per hour essentially for lawyers and financial advisors with this group.
And save yourself, you know, a lot of money. I mean, because it is real money that you're getting. It's like, you know, what are you doing? Besides, you're sitting there with me while they're offering me the contract they were always going to offer me.
In many ways, you're a bloodsucker.
You know, so and I'm sure the agents would say, "Well, we do a lot of other things. We do, you know, we have this, we have that, we have this.
Help build your brand.
Yeah,
you can build your brand on your own. You
right.
Know? We're folks outside that are proving that every day. Whether it's with social media, whether it's with, you know, streaming, whatever else.
Absolutely,
we can do. And that's what we've learned is.
Right.
It's society.
That's right.
You don't need that middle guy necessarily because the world's smaller.
We
can reach out and touch it on our own.
You know, I do think, like, you know, guys like Jamal Murray, like, they need an agent to promote, like, their shoe. You know, because it was definitely news to you that he had a player edition basketball shoe.
Why does it have 2K on it?
It's a 2K, you know, limited edition, bro. I mean, I don't know.
So it goes with the game? Because 2K is
the game.
No, it
doesn't go with the game. I think it's like maybe in the game, possibly. I'm not sure. I just saw a shoe that was designed to help with plantar fasciitis, and I purchased it.
New Balance Jamal Murray 2K shoe.
Yes.
That's designed to help with plantar fasciitis.
I don't know if it's like, that's like the main purpose, but like the cushioning they say is like very, you know, friendly. It's very, you know.
So for our list, John sent me a picture of these shoes by text yesterday, and I'm assuming, thinking that he was going to get a text back from me that said, man, those are clean. My son and I were like, what the heck are these? These look like 2K, the generic shoes. And he had to educate us, to his point, that these were Jamal Murray limited edition New Balance shoes. Something we'd never seen. Looked like they came straight off Third Street, Brad.
Whoa.
Remember your Third Street days? We were just talking about that yesterday. Looked like that.
Whoa.
And so, John, when we went back and, you know, Chris had a couple of things to say about how generic looking they were. Jonquil was really offended.
He wore these in game four against the Clippers this year.
Bro, we are a Nike town. Ja Morant, you heard of him?
Because
they're not for your plantar fasciitis.
The Ja 1 is when I suffered the injury. The Ja 1s, that's what I've been wearing for the last 2 to 3 years.
This fool going to end the segment blaming Ja for your plantar.
I think the Ja 1s, I don't know about the Ja 3s, but I think the Ja 1s were made with cheaper material. I think there's no doubt about that. And they just don't have the support and the heel that I need, you know.
Go to Denver.
I read the reviews. Now, I need people to stop hating on my shoes. I won't say everything that was said about them by some people. But, I mean, I think you can look them up and you can decide for yourself.
I mean, this man, he took a close-up of them things. I think he actually photoshopped and used light and everything. You know how you can put the magic wand on it and really brighten it up? He really thought he was going to get like, wow, those are fresh, John.
I was trying.
Where'd you get them?
I was trying to.
Straight off the game.
Jason, I was trying to connect. I was attempting to connect with your son. You know, I was attempting to rebuild that bond with CJ as his uncle, basically. And, you know, I was trying to relate to the young man. And I was disrespected. I was disrespected.
Because he's Nike.
And, you know, that's the thing about these kids, man. You know, you think you're going to reach out. You're going to give it all the brands like, hey, CJ, check these shoes out, man. They're fresh, right? And what do I get back? All he wants to do, he's talking trash to me. He's savage to me. He's not nice to me. I mean, these kids have no empathy. They have no regard for human life. It's just immediate trash talk.
They will try to hurt your feelings.
Immediate trash. I think back in our day, there would have been a layer of at least pretend, right? At least tell the person what they want to hear just to make them feel good, right? Mm-hmm. Those days are gone.
Well,
there's no
just
more.
Just like the days of agents.
Yeah.
Gone.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. These kids don't give a damn about feelings.
How come you've never worn them in here?
They're basketball shoes, bro. If you want me to,
I wear my Jaws up in here. What are you talking about? I wear my basketball shoes.
My basketball shoes on the court, bro. If you want,
bro, you are 30-something years old. Hang it up.
Never will hang it up. Never will hang it up. I still got one left in me,
man,
bro.
Act like you got a career, man. When I go hoop. Like you're still playing.
I just got a membership, bro. At a gym with a court. I have to absolutely play.
Congrats on that.
That's why
it's good to stay in shape. I'm not making any fun of that.
Yeah, I mean you have to, right? Like yeah. You know, the kids make it hard on you. You know, you got to get out there and you got to force yourself to do it.
But is it not a sign when you have to wear shoes that are designed
yes.
for plantar fasciitis?
Yes, bro. Yes, it's a
time
sign
to hang it up.
Yes, you think I don't have that thought when I'm putting the orthotic in the damn sole, bro? Yeah. It ain't like it used to be.
Just keep the shot wet for Dominic, so that you can beat him from one spot.
Exactly.
Stop running around like a fool.
That's exactly
you
right.
You could hurt yourself even
I
more.
I did. I hurt myself.
And you're doing it, and the kids are just laughing at you anyway because you got 2K shoes on. So just stop that.
That's crazy. 2K shoes. I thought they were fresh. I thought the 2K thing was nice, but apparently it's not.
No, they blew that with that design, putting 2K on there. All the kids are going to think that's the generic game shoe.
Yeah. Well, I'd post a picture, but I don't think I can take any more.
Memphis will kill you.
I don't think I can take any more insults about these shoes, man. But anyway, yes, it's a new era for players. There's no doubt about that. And John Morant's going to represent himself, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it all shakes out. Hopefully he gets what he wants out of it. He'll keep his 4%. So that and it's 20%, I guess, with any new future deals, although who knows what that will look like if that, you know.
Well, the more he's on the floor, the more the deals will come.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Anthony Sandy about this, get his thoughts on Ja Morant's new sort of strategy and Grizz Media Day and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to film you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? the celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Anthony Sain is the host of the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every afternoon at 1. He's the underground king of Memphis sports media, tribal chief of Grizz Twitter. Two titles that I absolutely butchered on him the other day in another setting. More on that later. He's an independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. Follow Sain on X at Sain Asylum. How are you on this Friday, brother? Appreciate you joining
me. I'm good, man. I meant to tell you the other day that I'm about to make that a lot easier for you. You can totally kill the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter.
Oh, yeah, you man, you've been there so long. Twitter. You want me to take it off?
Yeah, Twitter can do what they do at this point, man. I'm so over Twitter, man, like to the point where I want to just get all the way off of it, but I know that's pretty much impossible. So
I feel that.
Starting this season, I'm going to experiment just kind of getting my thoughts off, sharing links or whatever I got going on, and I'm gonna get on by my business. I'll probably disengage. I have a Discord page for people who actually want to talk sports with me that I'm trying to get going, but no, I'm not. I will not be. The tribal chief days over.
Okay,
I hand it over to the people.
I'm putting a note down. Never to call you that again. May I still call you Underground King of Memphis sports media? Is that still?
Yeah, that's. I think that's. Right. I'm gonna ride with them, man, for a while until I get brought above ground. But right now, I'm the Underground King. So I'm a grow where I'm dwelling, man, for sure.
It sounds good, brother. We got the story from Drew Hill this morning that Ja Morant is going solo dolo. He's going to do it all himself, representing himself with his group that's owned by his uncle. He's going to have some help, and he's going to do it basically himself. He's going to sign his next contract using an agent. What'd you think of the news?
I like it, man. I don't have any problem with it at all. It's something that I wish more guys would do. When you're talking about a situation in the NBA where a guy's up for a max deal, it's not much to negotiate, man. You know what I mean? It's like I saw that SGA did the same thing with his last deal. He's going to be a max player. So what's the point of letting somebody pinch money off of your deal when they don't particularly have to? And he's basically going to have consultants there to guide him through the process and basically do a lot of the work for him. It's not like Ja's going to be making a deal himself, I don't think. I think he's going to have the help of other people. But I think that I heard Jeff talking about it this morning. It'll be something where you're paying people for their service as opposed to them being entitled to a certain percentage of the deal that you make. And any endorsement deals, all those type of things, those are going to come. He's got Nike already. So, yeah, I'm not mad at it at all. I also think it's something that's going to be more in the Grizzlies' favor if Ja's doing something like that. It kind of shows that there won't be much negotiation that has to be done. And when you have an agent, agents are working for the best benefit of themselves as well, man. If they feel like they can get a better deal for you in another market, or they have pressure to get you in another market, all those type of things. But with John doing it himself, it pretty much feels like he's going to be doing that because he knows there's not going to be much negotiating to do because he wants to stay here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think for him, it makes, you know, all the sense in the world. It truly does. I mean, you know, because when you hit a certain level, bro, there's just, what are we negotiating? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what are we talking about?
Yeah, he's not some mid-level player or some guy that's barely in the league who you got to, like,
call
up Woj or call up Shams or whatever to make some story about teams have interest in my client. Like, it's Ja Morant. Like, he's going to get what he's going to get. So,
like Ty Jerome, I wish more guys needs an agent, right? Like,
yeah, Ty Jerome needs an agent, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you know. Luke Kennard needs an agent,
yes,
you know.
Because, like, you know,
Scottie Pippen Jr. might need one, in a couple years.
The other part of it that I was talking about with Jason is, like, and again, more so for guys like Ty Jerome and, like, the sort of lower – I don't mean that in a negative way, but the non-marquee guys, right?
Yeah, Santi Aldama need an agent this summer, right?
Yeah, because,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, because the truth is, like, it's not just about the contract. It's about, you know, Santi might get traded, bro. Like he could be moved. And so it's very important to have an agent that has a lot of other great clients so that you could at least try to, you know, maneuver and manipulate your way to a place you want to go, right?
Yeah,
because if the Grizzlies didn't respect Santi's agent, they will send that dude anywhere. You know what I'm saying? They would.
Right.
But if you respect the agent and you know, like, hey, they may have more clients down the road, whatever, like, you know, there'll be more collaboration, it feels like.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's why agent's important. So it's for him, he's just gonna walk in. Hey, are we doing the Supermax thing? Okay, good. See you later. You know,
right?
Or you're moving him. So one of the two. Monday is media day.
Yeah, man. We made it, bro.
What are you most interested in?
What am I most interested in? I've been asking everybody else who's came on my show this. I haven't thought about this myself. Just the mentality of the guys, like how they feel coming into a situation with a new coach and all those type of things. We saw that Cedric Howard is going to be available. That was something that was kind of looming over everybody, whether, you know, he was going to be able to play or whatever. I love to see BC's ready. I think he pretty much said he will be. I want to see that. Maybe an update on Edie to get more clarity where he is. Is Jaren as well. I think Jaren's going to be ready day one, but we'll see. Not for camp maybe, but as far as the regular season, I think he'll be ready. But that's pretty much that type of stuff, the mentality of guys. See who picked up the annual 15 pounds of muscle. I'm guessing it's going to be Ja this year. Dez isn't there, so we can't talk about how leaner he looks again this year. I don't know. I think that's pretty much it, man. It's just the mentality more than anything coming in. I really want to hear what Coach Isolo has to say for sure as well.
I'm glad you said the annual 15 pounds of muscle, because we had Ben and Doyle from Grindstone Media in here yesterday, and he got to talking about Ja's body, and his eyes lit up. You could see it, and he thought from that iShow speed stream that you could tell with his shirt off that he's bigger. And obviously Ja had the shirt off, and he's beaming it over to China and the world, so he feel pretty good about it. Did it look to you like he was bigger? That's what we were.
I didn't notice that. Benny may have, you know, a thing for seeing Ja with his shirt off, and he just got enamored by that or something. He didn't look any more swollen.
At the time, I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he just got enamored by the tats or something, man. I don't really think that.
There's just not, like, Ja's just never going to be a buff guy, bro. Like,
yeah, he won't be.
You know what I mean?
And it's not real weight, man. When these guys get swollen like that, it typically doesn't stay on. That muscle goes away once the season starts. You know what I mean? It's not like they're going to stay in the gym like that and stay swole like that. So, but, you know, you got guys like Jaren that just over time, they get their grown man size. But I don't think Ja's ever going to take that type of leap at all.
Yeah. But, again, I don't even know if I would – you know, now Zion, on the other hand, like that.
He looks great, man.
Shout out
to Zion, man.
That was like, whoa, dude.
Shout out to him, man. Hey, for real. For real, man. I'm extremely happy for
what's
Zion.
What's the over-under in terms of pounds you think he lost?
I'm not really good at that type of stuff, man. I don't know. You have to give me a number and I just take a stab at it. I couldn't set the number.
I'm going to go 39 and a half.
He probably lost more than it. He looks great, man. That dude looks like, I think I heard y'all yesterday say he looks like a wing. Yeah, he looks like, he's probably like OG Anunoby size right now.
Yeah, like, he looks more like Trey Murphy in them now.
I'm extremely excited for Zion, man. He's a guy, I remember rookie year Zion when I was covering the team. And going on the road and all those type of things with the team. And I saw Zion look like the most ridiculous player I've ever seen, bro. Like, he was looking like Blake Griffin if Blake Griffin could dribble. Like, he was incredibly, like, scary to watch. And I pulled for him, man. He's a guy that's an easy target. He's a meme. He's an easy guy to get jokes off of for the last few years, whether it be from, you know, the weight issue or the issues with the ladies and the escorts and all that type of stuff. But I'm pulling for Zion Williamson. I really hope he has a great year. And I'm glad that he has seriously taken this thing serious, man, like to lock in and do what he needs to do. I think this is a contract year for him maybe as well. Mm-hmm. So I hope he takes care of his business and shows and proves.
What is that team saying, Pelicans? If you get a Zion Williamson all year long, he's in great shape. And, you know, he's playing. He's on the floor you know, with Queen, with DeJounte, with Trey Murphy. We mentioned him, Herb Jones. And Zion. What are they?
I don't take teams serious that don't have a real point guard. I think Jordan Poole, there's two things about that team that I don't like. I don't like teams that don't have a real point guard at all, and teams that have guys that are just super low basketball IQ guys. And I think they've got two of those issues. You've got no point guard, and you got Jordan Poole who's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. That's another reason why I can't really take Dallas super serious either, because they've got another one in what's
D'Angelo.
His name? D'Angelo Russell, like, same thing. Like,
that's
same exact thing,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah,
like, those type of guys kill teams, bro. And I don't think the Pelicans are going to be good regardless. They got a lot of good pieces that I think every team in the NBA will take a look at if things don't work out. But I don't think they'll be that good at all.
How big a blow is losing Van Vliet for Houston?
I think it's major, man. Going back to what I just said, you have to have a good lead guard in today's NBA, whether that's a true point guard or a guy, a big guard like a Luka or a LeBron or somebody like that who's got the ball. You have to have that, bro. You're not just going to be good with a bunch of wings and a bunch of scores. You have to have guys that can set the pace, that can set the tone, and can keep the offense going. That's something about no matter what you're talking about, you have to have that. SGA is not your traditional point guard. He's a two. He's a scoring guard. But he's able to run that offense. Right. Now, can they get that from the guys they got left over? Maybe. You look at a guy like what's the kid's name from Kentucky?
Reed Sheppard.
Yeah,
that's a lot on him, to your point.
Yeah, and like to a guy who was taking number three in the draft, I haven't seen any guy that has gone without questions of, hey, is this guy a bust or not? Like, they're just – like that, those questions have even been asked with him, you know, with the season he had last year. But we'll have to see what he is. He's going to be thrown in the fire, but I don't think he's going to be able to answer the call, not to the level with the expectations that are on this team. I think he could be a pretty good guard over time,
right?
But we don't really know what he is, and they've got, you know, Amen Thompson as well. But those guys are still very rough and raw, and it's a lot of question marks. But whatever tier you had them in at first, I think you got to drop them down a tier, man.
I agree.
I think I had them in the tier. Yep. I had them in the top three tier, with them, Denver, and Oklahoma City. I don't think they're in that tier anymore at all without Fred VanVleet. He's not even an all-pro guard, but he's a solid, stable point guard. And if you think about it, man, that team lost a lot of things that gave them identity last year. Like, they had a lot of young talent. But you also had Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks on that team. They gave that team a lot of toughness, a lot of stability, a lot of identity last year on the Houston team. Both of those guys are gone. Yep. You know what I mean? And so we'll see how the whole thing works out. And KD's a guy, regardless of his talent, regardless of his scoring acumen, all those type of things, leader has never been something that's been, you know, on his resume. So we'll see how the whole thing works out in Houston.
You know, it's kind of interesting to me. Like, we're just kind of going around the NBA. LeBron's going into year 23, season number 23. It's a record. I don't believe anybody's ever gone into year 23
on the final year.
It's crazy.
And yet, you know, it just kind of feels like, and I'm just, I wonder just, you know, is this just me being on the internet and just, you know, subscribing to internet talk? But like, when Tom Brady was coming back, it was like everybody celebrated it. I was like, oh, this guy's, you know, he's the GOAT. He's coming back one more time. And with LeBron, it's like people are like annoyed by him. You know, people are like, oh, you know, he wants to do this. He wants to do that. He wants to, like, is that LeBron's doing? Like, like, has LeBron kind of invited that level of, you know, discourse on his career? Or is that just people being, you know, where do you come down on it?
I'm not particularly a LeBron fan, so I'm kind of setting the table when I get his response. I'm not particularly a LeBron fan, but I'm not a LeBron hater, too. I do appreciate LeBron as being one of the better players I've ever seen in my life. Like, he's – so I'm saying this, trying to be as unbiased as I can, but I do think that he has caused a lot of that in the last years of his career. There are some people that's like, they question whether LeBron's really even playing to win at this point, or is he just trying to hit benchmarks or just push the scoring record to the point where nobody can catch it. A lot of people are just kind of questioning what he's doing, especially with some of the vagueness and some of the weird things that he did this particular offseason. I don't think he really handled those things with the grace you would expect a guy who, you know, is in the twilight of his career. And then, you know, the Lakers have a shiny new toy. There wasn't a Patrick Mahomes in New England or Tampa Bay when Tom Brady was, you know, his twilight. There wasn't that great player that was there with him, but, you know, he still was Tom Brady. But now LeBron has, you know, Luka there with him, so that's going to take a lot of that luster off. But I believe those two factors have caused what we know is probably the last year or two for LeBron to be
LeBron's never going to retire, bro.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, he's you know, but you know he ain't got much left, bro. You know, it's I think this is going to be the year you start seeing the mortality of LeBron as far as his basketball career, not his real life mortality, but I think this is the year you will start seeing him start to break down a little bit. It should have been maybe 5 years ago as well,
right?
But it just feels like to me that it has to be pretty soon.
I mean,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I mean, I give him credit, man, because he knew that, and he knew that he was not gonna be able to do the things in 2025 that he could do in 2012, and so he it significantly improved that 3-point shot. Like, I mean, I give him credit for the, like, he's done amazing. Like, he's done amazing in terms of, you know, prolonging his NBA lifespan. Like, it's, he's kind of played it perfectly. Like, he shot 41% from 3 2 years ago. I mean, a guy that was never even in the mid 30s for the majority of his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the guy's a freak of nature, man. We're probably never going to see another like him. And, you know, I hate that he is so obsessed with, like, the off the court stuff and getting the credit and the acting and all that. But I mean, as a player,
man,
bro, perfect.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Could y'all imagine if LeBron, how many years he could add to his career if he said, I'm just going to be a screen and pop or a screen and roll big. Like, if he just said, I'm going to be a four in the NBA. Like, what? He probably could add five more years to his career. And be like, okay, I'm just going to be like Karl Malone or whatever. Like, what if he decided to do that?
He could.
He very well could, man. He probably could play to his damn defense.
I mean, any team that's trying to sell tickets would sign him, bro.
Yeah, for
sure. Like, I mean, even if he's 48 years old, I mean, that becomes part of the appeal. It's like, throw this 48-year-old man out there, bro. Like, why would the Hornets not sign him and start him?
Exactly, bro. For real, man. It's crazy. It's crazy to think about, really.
Saying in the Eastern Conference, you know, with Tatum gone from Boston, Halliburton gone from Indiana, are you expecting Orlando with Bane now and sort of them going all in? I mean, that's kind of what they did with that move. Are you expecting them to be a riser and be there with the Clevelands and the Knicks? What are you thinking of that Orlando team?
Yeah. Regular season, I think they'll be there for sure. I think they'll be a good, really good regular season team. I still think that roster lacks a lot of balance. There's a lot of – you got one of the better shooters in the league, but you still don't have a lot of shooting on the team. You got to have multiple guys that can knock those shots down. It's putting the pressure to be – if there's only one guy really who's a shooter, you can find ways to defend him or just make shooting really hard for him. And I think they've got to get – it's kind of hard to say that a team who's never been there is going to be there. Like, that's taking that leap. They haven't really gone that leap of getting their playoff scars, right? And to think that they're going to be the team that could come out of the East or be in the conference finals, they've never done anything close to that. So I don't think it's easy to just predict that for them. Especially when you're adding a guy, Desmond Bane, who hadn't done it either. Like, he hadn't been past, you know, the second round of the playoffs his own self. I think they're going to be really good, though. I could see a team like Detroit actually being more playoff ready than them, especially like getting those playoff scars last year. I think that the Knicks are going to be really good. I think the Knicks are going to be really good this year. Last year, they kind of stumbled through the regular season, kind of doing like we did, couldn't beat any of the good teams. But then they got in the playoffs and made a run. I think it'll be down. I think the Knicks are probably going to be good. It's another team we're leaving out, though, bro. Who is it?
In the East.
Cleveland. You said Cleveland,
yeah,
right?
I mentioned Cleveland. Yeah. That's one that, you know, everybody says it was great in the regular season last year, laid an egg in the second round. Where you
I think Orlando will be there. They'll be top four in the East. But I think they're going to disappoint in the playoffs, though. I don't think they're battle-tested enough. And their roster just lacks a lot of balance to me, like I said.
Yeah, it seems to be what usually happens. Sane, you're the best, man. Appreciate the time, as always.
Man, I try to be, man. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you, brother.
He is Anthony Sane from the Anthony Sane Show. Joins us every single Friday here on the show. Yeah, I mean, we'll have preseason games in, what, a week, 2 weeks? So
yes.
We love those, as you know, preseason.
That's coming. I mean, October 22nd, we started up. It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
The training camp preseason, it's not like it goes fast.
It does.
When you're there.
It does. No, there's no doubt.
Unlike NFL, where it feels like it takes forever.
And I just love, you know, basketball is just so great because it's just a constant, you know, like it's, you know, there's basketball every night. You know, there's college basketball, there's NBA basketball, you know, you got that. Football, there's a built-in little break there, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, and that's a tough time. But now basketball will fill that time.
What do you most want to know out of Monday?
I mean, I don't know if there's anything that I could know from Monday other than, you know, injury updates, right?
That's key for me is Edie. Yeah. The update on Edie.
Which is like what everybody's like talking about, right? Like Philly, they're talking about that, et cetera. But, you know, I just want to see it. I mean, I think with a full, you know, off season for Isolo to install his stuff, you know, what is it really going to be?
But who's he installing it with? So many young guys, we don't even know
if
they can execute what he plans, right?
So, I mean, yeah.
Even like just to your point, even through Monday, what he's installed, talking about, it's one thing.
That's right.
But having to, you know, see it with these young guys, a lot of them unproven.
That's
some
right.
of them looking for bounce backs, Vince Williams, GG.
Yep. Yeah, listen, I mean, I think this is a franchise where, in terms of where we're at with it, it's like we're past the talk, you know.
Oh, it's way past.
It's time to produce.
It's more about what you see on the floor.
Yeah.
And it feels like early on it's going to be about whether Jock Landale can hold it down.
Jock's a good player. I mean, I think, you know, depending on what you ask him to do, I think he'll be a guy that Memphis likes. I think
it was weird to hear Drew, though, say that he didn't, you know, sort of trying to sustain and run that style with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like you. Can he set screens for Ja? It would seem like it. Can you rebound? Because that's all you're going to ask of him. And so hopefully he can do, you know, be good enough at those two things to hold down the four. Because what I don't want to do is switch Jaren over to the five or have a ton of, you know, Brandon Clark out there, you know, playing that way. I'd rather be big because that is, you know, that pick and roll, having that big do that for job, that's East Low style. And I want to get that as firmly entrenched and embedded from the get-go as I can with the rest of my guys. So yeah, their roles are defined and everything else. So it seems critical to me that he'd be able to play that role. Hopefully he can.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I was reading a piece about him, Landale, and he's been, you know, he played for Melbourne United back in, I guess it was maybe Sydney or some part of Australia. And he was talking about how he feels like the team he came from with Melbourne United, like he feels like the Grizzlies play the exact same way. So he feels
the
like
hot potato ball.
He lucked up. It's kind of how he as how he put it. So
I just need him set screens, rebound, and roll to that be able to roll to that basket for Ja.
Yeah,
you know, be around that basket as Edie was able to as an alley oop guy. You know, he doesn't roll necessarily as in the athletic way you're used to seeing some of those other bigs, but he proved useful in terms of being able to get to that goal and be a target for Ja to where he's got options. Yeah, Landale's got to be able to do that.
Yeah, he said. The Sydney Morning Herald reports he will likely start at center. And he said, Landale said, as soon as I got that offer, I said to myself, this is something I can't pass up. I had 2 years in Houston where I played well when I played, but I didn't play enough and I didn't want to be left behind. There's a lot of good players without jobs right now, knowing that their culture is what it is. And I feel as I fit that mold, I was really excited for the opportunity. So I think he'll be a great fit. I do.
He needs to be from the get-go.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to start the year, is my point, with your secondary style of play, sort of what you have to do when you have to adjust. Right, going smaller, Brandon, whatever else. You want to start with what you're trying to do foundationally, so that you've got guys in lockstep. All these wings that you've got, trying to get that figured out after Edie's back is not ideal. This is a year where you've still got to win. Expectations are high, and so you just want to be able to plug Big Jock in there,
absolutely,
and do Edie things until Edie gets back. Hopefully that's the way it works. Otherwise, you should have gotten a different center.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Penny Hardaway had some really, really interesting things to say. He usually does, but especially so last night about his team in 25-26. We'll get into that and more when we get back. Jason and John, I'm trying to film ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.